As we read through the Bible, we come across many different occupations that people have taken on. There are those who have been employed as soldiers, as fishermen, farmers, tax collectors, scribes, priests, politicians, carpenters, metal workers, sailors, the list goes on. One of the earliest mentioned professions is that of a shepherd. All the way back in Genesis 4:2, we read that Adam's son Abel was a keeper of the sheep. Now, you may have heard some sermons or some Bible lessons arguing that in Jesus' time, shepherds were known to be rotten sinners, that they were bottom of the barrel in society or unpleasant and hated outcasts. Well, it is true that shepherds generally were not wealthy or highly educated or influential, but I don't think that we should make a blanket statement about their character. Putting that in today's context, I'm sure you would take offense at someone who said that all farmers are greedy and corrupt. Instead, we should realize that shepherds were useful to the people. They provided sheep a valuable commodity. In the ancient Middle East and even today, sheep provide people with food, milk, wool, hide, leather. And they were also a major part of the temple worship in Israel, as people brought these lambs to offer a sacrifice. Scripture also shows this, that God has a favorable attitude toward shepherds, for the most part, that is. Besides Abel, there are several prominent biblical figures who were shepherds. We see Abraham, Jacob, Moses, David, and Amos, to name a few. And even God is portrayed as a shepherd in passages such as Psalm 23. And Jesus emphasized the dedication of shepherds in John 10, as we heard this morning, in contrasting their sacrificial care of the sheep as opposed to the cowardice of the hired hands and the greed of thieves. So while it is true that shepherds didn't have the prominent role in the temple worship like the priests did, or scriptural wisdom of the scribes and Pharisees, these shepherds showed dedication to their duties. They lived lives of humble service, providing lambs for sacrificial offerings to the temple. And today we will look to a passage which shows how a group of simple shepherds, not the regal authorities or the wise religious leaders, were the privileged ones to receive a message from angelic messengers. I'll be reading from Luke chapter 2, and I'll be starting at verse 8. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning the child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. Father, help us to look to this passage this morning, that we may see and know how you are the one who leads us and guides us, and that we can trust in you each and every day. We pray this in your name, Lord. Amen. Well, I want us to briefly examine the setting of this familiar passage. In verse 8, the shepherds are said to have been in that same region, that is, in the vicinity of Bethlehem. This is where Joseph and Mary had come to in the previous passage. Now, Bethlehem was a small city near Jerusalem, about 6 miles away. So it is quite possible that these shepherds earned a portion of their living by providing some of the sheep that was used in temple worship. Luke tells us that these shepherds were keeping watch over their flock by night. They were guarding, they were preserving and keeping these sheep safe. The nature of a sheep is one of dependence upon the shepherd. Sheep are not fast, they are not strong animals, so they are quite vulnerable to the attacks of predators. So if these shepherds were careless, they could have easily lost some of those sheep to the wolves that were roaming through the fields that night. Now, this is one of the reasons why pastors are sometimes referred to as shepherds. They, like shepherds, are to protect the flock from enemy attacks. When Paul was speaking to the elders in Ephesus in Acts chapter 20, he told them to watch the flock, that is, those under their care in the church. He said that after he was to leave them, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. So who were these wolves that Paul was speaking of? Well, in verse 30, he says, From among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. So these were false teachers who were going to lead people astray. Now, the spiritual attacks from these false teachers are just as dangerous as a wolf attacking a sheep, since these kind of attacks can lead to eternal death. Now, in verse 9 of our passage, something happens to these shepherds that they would have never expected. They were face to face with an angel of the Lord. Now, this was a holy angel, a messenger from God, not to be confused with the angel of the Lord. The mention of the angel of the Lord in Scripture generally refers to God himself. Now, God is called the angel of the Lord when he spoke to Hagar in Genesis 16. And again, in Genesis 22, we are told, the angel of the Lord came to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So how do we know that this was God and not just an angel? Well, in verse 12 of that passage, he continued speaking to Abraham, saying, now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. So Abraham was ready to sacrifice his son Isaac, not to some angel, but to God. And when Moses spoke to God in the burning bush, we are told that the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire. But here in Luke chapter 2, we are told this is not the angel of the Lord, rather an angel of the Lord that appeared to the shepherds. But once again, when face to face with a holy messenger, these men were filled with fear. Now, this angel told the shepherds that they were not to be afraid. He said that he was bringing them a message of good news. It was not a warning of God's wrath. This phrase here, I bring you good news, can also be translated in some other contexts as to proclaim a gospel teaching or to evangelize. So this good news that the angel brought was indeed a gospel message. The shepherds were told, unto you has been born a Savior, that is Christ the Lord. And these shepherds were Jews who had been waiting for their Messiah. And now they are told that he has been born, just as the prophet Micah had foretold, in the city of David, that is Bethlehem. Now, unlike Moses or Gideon, these shepherds did not ask God to authenticate his message with a sign. But they were given a sign anyway. They were told that they would find this Christ child wrapped in cloths, and they would find him lying in a manger. So this would be no normal birth occurrence. This would be something that they could see that was not of the norm. And suddenly they beheld not just one angel, but a host of angels who began praising God. Whereas Satan had been a majestic angel who wanted to receive glory for himself, these holy messengers were praising God. They were honoring him as supreme because of Jesus' coming. Now, how did these shepherds react to this gospel message? Well, they didn't sit around and ponder the angel's message. But Luke tells us they went away quickly to see this thing that has happened. They reacted the same way as Jesus' disciples did when he said, "Come, follow me." His disciples didn't say, "Well, hold on, sir, I have to make a few arrangements for my job and for my property." No, they left their nets behind. They left tax booths and whatnot to go follow Jesus immediately. There were others, however, who told Jesus that they had to go bury their fathers or say farewell to those at home or take care of other priorities first. But these shepherds, just like the disciples, left immediately. They didn't find a place for their sheep to go to. They didn't slowly bring their flock with them into the city, but they simply left. This message of the birth of a Savior was the only thing that was on their minds that morning, that night. This was their priority. So these shepherds left for the city of David, called Bethlehem, the house of bread, so that they would find the one who would later be called the bread of life. And just as the angel told these men, they did find this child lying in a manger. And we can assume that these shepherds were overcome with joy, that they were excited to tell Jesus' parents what they had heard and seen about the angel's message to them. And it's quite possible that Joseph or Mary would have confirmed their message and told them that, yes, they too had received a visit from an angel who told them that Mary would give birth to the one who would be called Son of the Most High. Well, Luke tells us that when these shepherds encountered Jesus, that they went out reporting the things that they had seen to other people. They were faithful witnesses to Jesus' truth. They were telling them that a Savior had been born. So how do you react to the good news about Jesus? Well, there were several reactions from people that day. The people who heard the reports from the shepherds wondered in amazement about the message, and yet they didn't take the time to go and check it out and see if this thing had happened. Mary was said to have treasured and pondered these things in her heart. The gospel gave her comfort. She spent time in reflection and meditation. And these shepherds reacted with pure joy. Verse 20 says they returned. They went back to their work, back to their business, back to their old lives, but now they were changed men. Nothing was normal anymore. Luke says they were glorifying and praising God for what he had done. These shepherds were now God's sheep. Now, as I said before, shepherd can be used as a metaphor for a pastor. And the Bible refers to those who lead God's people as shepherds, whether this refers to religious leaders or to kings. Now, some of those men led God's people well, but others ruled selfishly. In Ezekiel 34, God spoke through his prophet about wicked shepherds who were in Israel. Ezekiel was to rebuke those shepherds who were said to be feeding themselves rather than God's sheep. Listen to this condemnation from Ezekiel 34. "You eat the fat, You clothe yourselves with wool. You slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened. The sick you have not healed. The injured you have not bound up. The strayed you have not brought back. The lost you have not sought. And with force and harshness you have ruled them. My sheep were scattered all over the face of the earth with none to search or seek for them. So those who were called to care for the people neglected them. They used the flock to their own advantage. They were similar to these modern day swindlers, these pastors who plead for people to give them money so that they would advance their ministries, calling this seed money, that God's kingdom would grow. Yet here they are living on the high hog, and the people are living paycheck to paycheck. Now, what would God do about these shepherds? He says in that passage, I am against those shepherds, and I will require my sheep at their hand and put a stop to their feeding the sheep. Well, how is God going to do this? He says, I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep. I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. Later in that passage, God tells Ezekiel, I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. Now remember, this came long after King David. So this refers to a later ruler, one from David's line. It's talking about a shepherd who would come representing both David and God. And Jesus, the one whom the shepherds found in the manger that night, would be that shepherd. He was one of David's descendants, and he is God himself. As we heard this morning in John 10, Jesus told those around him, he is the good shepherd. He is the one who lays down his life for the sheep. He's not like those evil shepherds of Ezekiel 34, neglecting the flock while glorifying themselves. And he contrasts the faithful shepherd with the hired hand who runs from danger, leaving the flock vulnerable. Jesus says, he knows his sheep, he gathers his sheep into one flock, even those who are not of this fold, that is the Gentiles. And because Jesus protects his sheep, they trust him, they follow him. They know that he will keep them safe from spiritual harm. Now that doesn't mean that Christians won't experience pain and suffering and physical harm from other people. Likely we will face spiritual attacks as well. But as his sheep, we will be safe from spiritual destruction. He will protect us from the wolves, from the false teachers, false prophets, so that we will be led by his truth into his kingdom. But we must first know his voice. We must be able to distinguish his voice from false teachings. Jesus said in that passage, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Are you hearing his voice? I'm not talking about an audible voice from heaven, but the Bible is God's word. If you want God to speak to you, then simply read your Bible. And if you want to hear his words, then read it out loud. Also, listen to those who teach God's word, not whatever your itching ears want to hear. Like I said, Jesus keeps his sheep secure. He says, I give them eternal life. They will never perish. And no one will be able to snatch them out of my hand. So if we are being led by Jesus, our good shepherd, then as David says in Psalm 23, we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now God honors his faithful, quiet shepherds. Many of the shepherds in the Bible pointed to God. Abel brought an acceptable sacrifice before God. Moses led God's people out of Egypt to meet God in the wilderness. David faithfully led Israel in battle and ruled them as their king while he himself followed after God's own heart. Amos proclaimed God's message to the people so that they would be fed by his word. And Jesus, our good shepherd, displays self-sacrificing love for his sheep to the point of laying down his own life that they would be saved from eternal destruction. Now, the shepherds in Luke chapter 2 were quite similar to those other shepherds in the Bible. Now, they were simple people, but they trusted in God, unlike the self-righteous religious rulers of that day. They were faithful in believing God's word and seeking after him and proclaiming his truth to others and praising him when they were encountered by his presence. And when you hear God's word, do you just smile and nod, or do you trust it and obey it? Do you follow after God, leaving any hindrance behind you and making him your priority? Many people heard the shepherd's message that day, but as Luke tells us, they merely wondered about it, perhaps philosophizing or debating on the meaning of the words. But these shepherds went back praising and glorifying God. They were changed men. Just as Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. So let us follow our good shepherd each and every day and live as new creations. Let us pray. Father, we look to you this day, knowing that you are our good shepherd, that you are leading us. You guide us by the truth of your word. You show us what it means to be a true follower. You've given us many examples in the Bible of those who have followed you faithfully, even when it didn't seem sensible. And you gave us the most wonderful gift of all by sending your Son here, that he would come, live for us, love us, and die a sacrificial death for us, that we may be your children. So, Father, help us to honor you with our lives. Help us not to merely speak words about you, but that we would live lives for you, that we would honor you and show you that we love you, that we are your servants, that we are your sheep, that you are our shepherd who leads us through sometimes dark and dangerous valleys, sometimes near the wolves. But God, we trust in you, knowing that no ultimate destruction will come upon us when we are safe in your hand. We pray this in your name, Lord. Amen.